This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
12 minutes after 6, now with part 1 of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you very much, Randy, and good morning. Your grain futures yesterday, Wednesday, off the Board of Trade, had corn closing in the black, beans in the red, and wheat recovered a little bit on Wednesday. First off, looking at corn, they offset some of the earlier week selling with a 2 to 4.25 cent gain yesterday, Wednesday. Week-to-date prices are, however, still down double digits past delivery December. The weekly ethanol production report showed a 16,000 barrel per day decrease in production from week to week, as producers averaged 974,000 barrels a day for the week ending last Friday, the 27th. Ethanol stocks were also higher on the week, up 374,000 barrels to 21.24 million. Export sale estimates ahead of the weekly update today are for between 800,000 and 1.6 million metric tons of corn booking. South Korea is purchased 65,000 metric tons of optional origin corn in a tender. Official Brazilian corn exports were 4.9 million metric tons in November. That was up from 4.11 million metric tons in November of 2019. Again, your corn futures up 2 to 4.25 cents on Wednesday. And at the close Wednesday, soybean futures were 8.25 to 9.5 cents weaker. Soybean meal futures weakened another $4 to $4.60 Wednesday. Soybean oil futures closed down by 9 points in January and March, but they were up 7 in December. Open interest as of Tuesday was at 1,921 contracts for December bean oil and 3,162 for bean meal. Vietnam has tendered 68,000 metric tons of soybean meal. U.S. weekly export sales for last week are estimated between 400,000 and 1.15 million metric tons of beans, 100 to 300,000 metric tons of bean meal, and 8,000 to 40,000 metric tons of bean oil. Official Brazilian soybean exports were 1.47 million metric tons in November, a 71% drop year over year as they have began importing from the U.S. DataGrow estimates the 2020-2021 Brazilian bean crop at 134.98 million metric tons. That's up a half million from the previous forecast. Again, soybeans yesterday, Wednesday, were lower by 8.25 to 9.5 cents. Finally, at the close of the midweek session, wheat futures were double digits in the black. Chicago wheat was 9 to 11.25 cents higher, with December at 5.78 a bushel. Kansas City futures were 13.5 to 14.75 cents stronger on the day. Minneapolis wheat closed the session 5.25 to 6.75 cents higher. Traders estimate USDA will be showing between 250,000 and 700,000 metric tons of wheat export business for the week ending last Thursday. Australian wheat harvest was reported 45% complete, with reports of more than expected high pro. Japan's Department of Agriculture issued the regular food wheat tender seeking 67,000 metric tons from the U.S. and 60,000 from Canada and Australia. Results are expected today. So going back over your mostly higher grain futures, with the exception of soybeans from yesterday, Wednesday, corn for December was up by 4.25 at 4.19, March corn up 3 at 4.23 3/4, May corn up 2.5 cents at 4.26 1/2. January soybeans were down by 9 cents at the close Wednesday at 11.53, March beans down 8.25 at 11.54 3/4, May beans down 9 at 11.52. Chicago wheat for December was up by 12.5 cents at 5.78, March wheat up 11.25, 5.88 1/2, May wheat up a dime at 5.91 1/4. Oats for December were up by 4.75 at 2.94 1/2. March oats also up 4.75 at 2.96 1/2. Bean meal for December down $4 at 3.89.50. Soybean oil for December up 7 cents, 37.47. Now we'll move on and take you to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Grain Report.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Hill and country grain prices are mixed on Wednesday afternoon. In northern West Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 3 cents at 3.89 to 4.18. Soybean bids were down 6 to 9 cents at 11.03 to 11.45. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids up 6 to 7 cents at 4.03 to 4.31. Soybeans bids are down 9 cents at 11.28 to 11.60. In the southern part of the state, chill corn bids were steadied up 4 cents, $4 to 4.39. Soybeans bids are mostly down 9 cents at 11.28 to 11.75. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were down 9 cents at 11.60 to 11.70. Basis is unchanged at 7 over to 17 over the January. High Pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at $385.60 to $400.60 per ton, down $2.90 to $10.90 a ton, with basis at option to 15 over the January. High Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 1 to 3 cents higher at $4.19 to $4.49, with basis steadied up 7 at $500 to $25 over the March. Illinois River barge flooding elevators coated to produce the corn bids 1 to 5 cents higher, $4.16 to $4.28, with basis at 8 under to 4 over the March. Soybeans ended down 10 to 12 cents at $11.47 to $11.55, with basis down 1 to 3 at 6 under to 2 over the January. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placer producer corn bids up 2 to 7 cents at $4.44 to $4.48. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 6 to 7 cents. Quotations at 11.73 to 11.75. Soft wheat closed sharply higher at 6.18 to 6.19. Milo ended the day mostly 2 cents lower, 4.94 to 4.95. Contract bids producers for January delivery corn in the northern part of the state at 3.92 to 4.24. Soybeans at 11.03 to 11.45. In the central part of the state, corn for January delivery at 4.04 to 4.27. Soybeans at 11.30 to 11.60. In the southern part of the state, corn for January delivery at 410 to 448, soybeans at 1138 to 1179. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock report from yesterday, Wednesday. Cattle were higher at the close and hogs were lower on Wednesday. First off, at the end of trading Wednesday, the board showed a 7 to 75 cent gain in the front month fat cattle futures. Feeder cattle recovered from midday lows and ended the session yesterday 10 to 32 cents higher as well. March contracts were unchanged. The CME feeder cattle index was at 139.87 on Tuesday, down 43 cents. The online FCE cattle auction sold 533 head of the 1,025 head listed yesterday for 110.50 and 110.75. USDA confirmed cash sales remain tight, with the bulk of sales having taken place near the $110 mark so far. The full range is wide as trade develops from $106.50 to $112. Dress sales so far have been $172 to $174. Wholesale box beef prices were lower in the Wednesday afternoon update. Choice boxes were quoted at $240.89 a hundredweight, down $2.51. Selects were at $222.95, down 13 cents. Brazilian government data showed 167,736 metric tons of beef shipment during November. That was an 8% increase for the country since last year. USDA estimated the week-to-date cattle slaughter is 361,000 head through Wednesday. That's up 2,000 head year over year and 1,000 head week over week. Moving on, after opening session below the Tuesday close, lean hog futures ended the midweek session 30 to 87 cents lower. The lean hog index for Monday the 30th was down another 14 cents at 66.67. The USDA's national average base afternoon hog price for Wednesday was at 56.64, down 12. Pork cutout futures also closed in the red, down 62 to 82 cents in the front months. USDA's national pork carcass cutout value was at 79.86 in the Wednesday afternoon update, down $2.78. Hams shot to a three-week high of 92.79 on an $18.96 jump. USDA's federally inspected hog slaughter for the week so far through Wednesday was at 1.482 million head. That's down 7,000 head from last year and down 6,000 head from last week. So recapping your livestock futures from yesterday, Wednesday, with cattle higher and hogs lower. Live cattle for December were up 7 cents at 110.70. February live cattle up 75 cents, 113.92. April live cattle up 35 at 117.17. Feeder cattle for January up 15 cents, 141.80. March feeders up 32 cents, 140.97. April feeders up 22 cents at 142.10. Finally, your lean hogs for December down 62 cents, 66.35. February hogs down 87, 67.87. Aprilene hogs down a half a dollar at 70.87. Now we'll move on and take you back to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for Wednesday's Cash Livestock Report.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting in the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for 200-pound pork carcass traded 12 cents lower, in a range of 50 to 58.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 56.64. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow price were $1 lower, with moderate demand for heavy offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded $27 to $30, 4 to 5 weighted $29 to $33, 5 to 6 weighted $33 to $37, and over 600 pounds $35 to $40. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices of barrels of gilt to country buying points were steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $35 to $41. Packer receipts for barrels and gilts had totaled 27,872. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers live basis trade at 106 to 112, and on address basis at 172 to 174. Choice heifers and live basis trade at 107 to 112, and on address basis at 172 to 175. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 365 loads traded. Calculations for 200-pound pork carcass was $79.86, which is $2.78 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading lower. Choice carcass $240.89, which is $2.51 lower, while select herds $222.95, which is 13 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 120,000. Compared to 118,000 last week and 117,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 497,000 compared to 494,000 last week and 497,000 one year ago. That includes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by the McAdams Millwright Service, by Linko Precision, and by DeKalb Asgro. Now with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thanks again, Randy. Now here for Ag News on your Thursday morning. The calendar, politics, and Senate rules could make it hard for agriculture and other committees that are key for producers' success to hit the ground running in a new Congress starting next month. Two Georgia Senate runoff races on January 5th will occur 2 days after the new Congress reconvenes on the 3rd, preventing a timely Senate reorganization, especially if close races slow determining the Senate majority. American Farm Bureau Executive Director Dale Moore says so far he thinks the Senate can get through any holdups, even on panels like agriculture where the chairman has retired.
I just feel like that the Senate will figure out a way, if there is business that needs to be done, for that committee to operate, even if they've not had a chance to designate, who the new chair is.
Moore says he's making an even money bet that Senate leadership of both parties will have a process to do essential business until a majority is decided.
Even if a majority hadn't been decided yet, then I would say that virtually in that situation, all the committees are in limbo until they get that sorted out.
Which could slow committee consideration of the president-elect's cabinet nominees, including for the USDA.
There is that potential. There is that potential, and I'm going to put that speculation on your lap.
What's not speculation is that the Biden cabinet confirmation process will start with Republicans still in charge, since one of the Georgia senators, Kelly Loeffler, was appointed to fill out the still uncompleted term of her predecessor, Johnny Isaacson. And no confirmation hearings on Biden nominees can happen at agriculture, budget, and health, along with the education, labor, and pension, since all three of those panel's chairs have retired as well. And President-elect Biden says that he will not be immediately rescinding the tariffs that President Trump placed on many Chinese imports or break Trump's Phase One trade deal with China. ABC News says Biden wants to be able to maximize his leverage in the future talks with the Southeast Asian nation. Biden says, quote, "I'm not going to make any immediate moves, and the same applies to the tariffs. I'm not going to prejudice my options." Under President Trump, the U.S. and China engaged in a year-long trade war that has been frozen in place since the two sides reached the Phase 1 trade deal back in January. There have been some industries that have benefited from Trump's trade policies, but the actions have been planned by the business community and many trade experts. ABC News says most of the tariff costs have been paid for by American consumers and business. Biden's January goal will be to restore U.S. relationships with allies to strengthen his negotiating position with China. He says the key to talks with China is leverage, and in his view, we don't have it yet. And in other news out of Washington, a bipartisan group of lawmakers announced and proposed a coronavirus aid package that would cost $908 billion overall and would contain $26 billion for nutrition and agriculture. A DTN report says that proposal is less than 50% of a White House proposal issued before the election. It's also one-third of the cost of a plan backed by House Speaker Pelosi. DTN says the package is considered by many to be a short-term plan, as President-elect Biden hinted that his new economic team would propose a larger economic stimulus package once he's sworn in. Biden adds that, quote, any package passed in the lame duck session is likely to be, at best, just the start. Mitt Romney of Utah says the aid package would repurpose $560 billion from last spring's aid passed by Congress that would lower any new spending level to $348 billion. Senate Finance Committee Chairman Chuck Grassley, who just returned after recovering from COVID-19, says that Congress is working on an aid package. However, the cost had to be lower than earlier proposals for any aid package to have a chance at clearing the Senate. Moving on now to news from the Farm Service Agency. They want to remind producers that a couple of important deadlines are quickly approaching. FSA Administrator Richard Fordyce says the deadline for the Coronavirus Food Assistance Program Part 2 is due next Friday, the 11th. The program has already assisted many producers across the country, but time is growing short to get new applications submitted by next Friday's deadline.
We have certainly had a tremendous response to CFAP 2. As of Monday, well over $11 billion have gone out to producers in payments, and that has gone to almost 704,000 different producers in the CFAP 2 program. We continue to get applications, and that dollar amount continues to climb. But as a reminder, folks need to at least make their county office aware that they want to sign up for CFAP 2 and need to do that before December 11th.
The second round of CFAP assistance covers more commodities than the first round did.
Sales commodities, and those are going to be primarily specialty crops and aquaculture species, price trigger commodities, and those are going to be kind of our traditional row crops, livestock, and dairy. And then we have a category that we call flat rate row crops, and those would be commodities that either didn't meet a 5% price decline or we didn't have sufficient data to determine that they had hit a 5% price decline. Those all are going to be paid based on 2020 planted acres. Those are going to be paid at $15 an acre. There are some exceptions, but almost anything that our farmers and ranchers out there are producing is likely eligible.
December 11th is also the deadline to sign up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program. Fordyce says the DMC is the Farm Service Agency's primary risk management program and is much improved over the version that began in the 2014 Farm Bill.
It was revised and improved in the 2018 Farm Bill. Congress listened to some of the concerns of the dairy sector and made some improvements, raised the coverage levels, lowered the premiums, and really changed a little bit about how we actually figure margin and put some components in that cost piece of the equation that actually maybe more truly reflects the cost of feed. If you're a dairy operator and you have not gotten signed up for the Dairy Margin Coverage Program, would strongly urge you to take a look at that.
And as the deadline draws closer, producers may find it more convenient to schedule an appointment at their local FSA office.
2019 was our first year of coverage, and we had over 22,000 operations that signed up. We saw that number fall off a little bit for the 2020 coverage year, but we anticipate good sign up. Anytime we have a sign up deadline, it's human nature is we know when the deadline is, so we know we have until then to sign up. And so we see this just a lot in a lot of our programs. It really kind of ramps up that last week or so. We're on pace to be close to the 2020 sign up, but again, would just encourage folks, if you are a dairy operation, to take a look at the Dairy Margin Coverage Program.
Producers can also find CFAP 2 information at farmers.gov/CFAP online, or go to fsa.usda.gov online and search under Programs and Services to find DMC information. And moving on into other news from USDA FSA, this time on the state level, University of Illinois Extension Gary Schnittke says farmers are very consistent in choosing revenue protection policies that cap out at less than $20 an acre. Here's two examples, one from highly productive soils in northern Illinois and one from the less consistent soils in southern Illinois.
Just to give you a feel again, DeKalb County, northwest northern part of the state, an 80% coverage level would typically cost $7 per acre. So most farmers in that part of the state take 85% levels, and their average premium is $12. Go down to Jefferson County. Their premiums on average cost $21 at an 80% coverage level. No 85% coverage levels were sold in Jefferson County. So we saw those farmers taking 75% coverage levels and 70 and 80 so that they have an average premium in that teen range again.
For geographical reference, DeKalb County is near the Chicago area and the collar counties. Jefferson County is the county that Mount Vernon is the county seat of. Schnittke also says it will be interesting to see how the new enhanced coverage option, or ECO policy, that FSA will offer on top of RP in 2021 will be used by farmers, if at all, to stay within the historic cost per acre parameter. And in other news, the holidays may be looking a bit different for many this year, with traveling and large family celebrations put on the back burner. And here to talk to us today about how to make a plan, keep it simple, and embrace the benefits of family time is Jill Williams, registered dietitian and nutrition educator with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And Jill explains how to get through the holiday at home.
So first, I want to talk about making a plan, so we'll talk a little bit about meal planning and grocery store shopping. Figuring out what you want to do is going to set you up for success. And next, just the thought about keeping it simple, not adding extra stress to your plate, and then finally really trying to embrace the time you have at home with your family.
So let's start with making that plan. So, of course, as always, we talk about dairy. So how does dairy fit into that plan?
Well, making a plan ahead of time is the key. When you're feeding a family at home and preparing holiday meals, take advantage of online resources. So there's different apps for putting meals together. There's apps for keeping a grocery list. There and different websites that you can find as well. Meal ideas that are posted on your grocery store website. These can be really helpful to keep track of ingredients and make sure that you have everything you need. The dairy case can also offer a lot of simple options that are easy to serve and nutritious, so milk with meals or in hot chocolate, yogurt parfaits for dessert or as a dip with fruits and veggies, cheese with crackers. That's always a staple at my holiday gatherings. We always have the cheese tray. that's a big one. You know, other things as a bedtime snack, you know, just to make sure that you're still getting those 3 servings of dairy a day. It's easy to plan with dairy foods because they're so versatile and they pair well with other food groups.
And next on the list was keeping it simple. So what do you mean by that?
Well, I find that the holidays are overwhelming enough as they are. So if you're preparing a holiday spread for your family, that's just another hat that you're wearing this year. So take a step back and just keep it simple. So instead of trying all new recipes, keep it simple by picking a few dishes that your family already loves. So milk, cheese, yogurt, and butter, those are basic ingredients in a lot of recipes. So just be sure to stock up on those. Remember, there's no specific menu that has to be served on any given holiday. So just give yourself a break this year. Stick with the tried and true. You know, find stuff that your family likes and that's easy. Be sure to make an extra, though, so there's plenty of leftovers. Leftovers are a great way to prepare less meals because you've already done the work the first time. So it's all about being with your, you know, being with your loved ones.
Exactly, and that brings us up to the next question. Family time is important, especially not just during the holidays, but every day. So what suggestions do you have for listeners when it comes to family time?
Well, the positive effects of having family time are really well documented. A staycation can give us plenty of additional time to reap the benefits. So a lot of us have extra time off from work during the holidays. Kids are out of school. Take advantage of that and just spend some time together. So doing outdoor activities like hiking or walking in the park or playing games, making crafts, those are easy ways to engage your family. I know my daughter, we made Christmas ornaments this past weekend. There was glitter everywhere. It's still in my house, but it was fun. Keep family traditions alive. So in times of uncertainty and change, just keeping up on yearly traditions will bring a sense of normalcy. We always like to bake and things like that too. If you don't have traditions, this is a good year to get started. So one of the things you can do is there's a book called If You Give a Mouse a Cookie, and that's, a cute book for kids. I read it to my daughter. To go along with that, you can make some chocolate chip cookies. So if you've ever read this book as a child, of course you want to serve a cold glass of milk to go with it.
And since you are a registered dietitian, can you talk a bit about how to stay healthy during the holidays and all year long? Of course, we get to the time of year where it's like all of this food at every single party.
I know.
Maybe not so many parties this year due to the pandemic, but of course,
exactly.
It's always that time of year where can I have a little bit, but
exactly.
Still keep on track and be healthy.
It's hard to resist, too. I just love all these sweets, and I have a hard time with them. But, think about things like starting your day with breakfast. Don't skip meals. I think when you skip meals, then you get hungrier, and then you start snacking on, lots of things that might be around. Choose high-protein foods to keep you satisfied through the day. So dairy products are actually a great source of protein, things like milk, cheese, and yogurt. Those are good things to help keep you satisfied. Choose a variety of foods through the day. So planning ahead, like I already mentioned, to have fruits and vegetables or whole grain crackers or lean meats or nuts and seeds. Maintain or start a physical activity routine. So strive for at least 30 minutes of physical activity most days of the week. And, this will help release some holiday stress, also offset some calories. So just getting out and exercising makes you feel so good. Getting out for a nice walk or something like that, is if the weather is good enough to do, is always makes you feel a little bit better. And if you have a few extra days off, get started and you'll feel so much better doing something healthy for yourself.
Mm-hmm. And that'll help you get started into the next year as
That's
those
right.
New Year's resolutions.
That's right.
Okay.
We'll be talking about those in no time, right?
Yep, already into the next year and hopefully a better year.
Yeah, that's
as
right.
Well.
Yes, we're all looking forward to 2021.
Yes. So as the holidays are approaching on us here, where can listeners go to get all these tips and while they're staying home for the holidays and staying healthy?
Well, you can visit our website at stldairycouncil.org, and we have that chocolate chip cookie recipe if you want to make that with your family. And we have lots of other resources, lots of recipes on our website. And then you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We post all kinds of different tips and information about agriculture and recipes and all kinds of stuff on those pages. So you can find us at STL Dairy Council if you look on Facebook or Instagram, and you'll be able to find what we're doing right now.
Okay, Jill, and of course, always a pleasure to talk with you, and have a Merry Christmas. Happy
New
Year.
You too. Have a great holiday.
And again, that was Jill Williams, registered dietitian with the St. Louis District Dairy Council. And one last note before we go, good luck to hunters this morning as they start off the second and final weekend of firearm deer season. Good weather as anticipated, just like the first weekend. So again, good luck to the hunters in the second round of firearm deer season. And that'll wrap up Ag News here on this Thursday morning. But remember, you can always send us your Ag News via an email at WSMI at WSMIradio.com. So again, for this Thursday morning, December 3rd, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.